8 o'clock. Thanks for joining us. Jim Davis, along with Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios, the most trusted name in automobiles. Opening day today for Major League Baseball. Your prediction for the Rockies record, I've got them at 70 wins. Once again, here's the disclaimer. Would love to be wrong about that. Hopefully I'm wrong about that. I just feel like that's kind of where they're going to be.
Yeah.
You've got them at what, 66?
67.
67, okay.
And 95.
Best pitcher, it's going to be Ermon Marquez again.
Yeah.
I find that hard to believe. Maybe Daniel Bard will challenge for that. Could, you know, maybe Chichi Gonzalez have a sneaky good season? I mean, kind of evaluating where he is in terms of, you know, not expecting a ton and had a really good spring for the Rockies. Offensively, it's going to be Trevor Story from a position standpoint, but could a Raimel Tapia be surprising? Maybe Ryan McMahon? I still just keep, you know, Brendan Rodgers, of course, got hurt again, and I don't know
what we're ever going to see from him.
Yeah, I just don't have any faith in him. Not that he's a bad guy or anything like that. I just...
Seems like a good kid, but he's never there.
And once again, it's kind of like the Gary Harris thing.
Yeah, exactly.
If you never can get on the field or the court because you're hurt all the time,
how are you going to help us?
Exactly. How are you going to help your team? How are you going to have an impact? I just don't think that we're ever going to see him live up to all the hype. I just don't think that's going to happen.
And also, our dream for everybody playing today. It's already squashed.
Yeah.
Baltimore and Boston postponed.
Because it's going to be the first time ever that everybody is played on opening day.
Yeah.
Well, since there's been 30 teams, I should say.
Yeah, it's over, though. The dream is gone.
The dream is over at 8:02:42 Mountain Time.
The thrill is gone, as B.B. King once
said. Exactly. All right. So, also, since it's Easter this weekend, peeps or no peeps? PETA probably wouldn't like this, but did you, when you were a kid, or if you still get one, maybe you still get one, I don't know, the chocolate bunny?
Mm-hmm.
Do you bite the ears off first?
I don't know why PETA would have a problem with the chocolate bunny.
Well, they may think, though, that it's a representation of an actual rabbit.
They're not very bright. That's true.
They could feel like they're... I'm not going to crack on PETA today. I'm just saying they might say, well, that could carry over to actual rabbit violence.
Okay, sorry. Do you want me to eat the butt first then? I mean, what? The feet first?
Okay, that just...
What part of the bunny am I supposed to eat first to appease the PETA lords?
Please don't eat that part of it first, okay? You just said
the tail,
or don't say that again, okay? Oh,
thank God!
So much for that family-friendly program that we're supposedly trying to put out there. Way to go!
That one you may have to explain to your kids.
Please don't. By the way, just don't do that. Just leave it alone. Let's go ahead and leave it alone.
You know those times where you're like, oh, I'm going to say this, and you realize you probably shouldn't have.
You should not have. You just should have left that alone.
Yeah. Yeah, just that was one of those moments.
All right. The voice of the Gonzaga Bulldogs.
Maybe.
Tom Hudson. I'm trying to move on here. I'm trying to just move it along. He'll join us at 8:40 this morning.
Tom may be listening to the stream and be like, I'd rather not.
Maybe I'm going to pass on this one today. And I asked him about the Sunday game.
Yes.
And he was going to get some, verification from Adam Morrison. Now, if you've not heard of this, SI has an article out about it. It's called The Sunday Game, and John Stockton put it together. The, of course, legendary Utah Jazz point guard, Hall of Famer, Gonzaga great.
John Houston Stockton.
And he put together a game that they play on Sundays where it's invite only. And the only invite the only person you can get that invite from is one John Houston Stockton.
Yes.
Like if you and I played, I can say, hey, or like if I played hey,
come on down to this game.
John Stockton would say, get out of here.
Right.
and some of the Eastern Washington guys played in this game, and so that's their current players, and so that's how they kind of, how the story got out a little bit, and then John Stockton went on a podcast and talked about it, and it's primarily guys that played at Gonzaga and people that the John Stockton personally invites. And so Adam Morrison, who's the color analyst for Gonzaga, Tom Hudson's broadcast partner, has played in this game a lot. And so Tom is going to get a little more information on it. Now that, you know, it's like the Fight Club thing. You don't talk about Fight Club. Well, apparently the Sunday game was something you didn't talk about until John Stockton, who is the guy that came up with the Sunday game, talked about it on a podcast. And so I guess if you're the guy that comes up with the thing,
the idea, you can talk about it.
Then you can talk about it. So we're going to work that in with Tom Hudson, give ourselves a little extra time to talk with Tommy coming up at 8:40 this morning. Also, preview Gonzaga's matchup with UCLA. They've already dispatched of one Pac-12 team.
Handily.
Rather easily against USC. Now they take on UCLA. All right. Of course, we'll have a Final Four coverage, 1:30 Saturday.
Yep.
On the team, just a quick reminder, we will not be here tomorrow. We'll be off for Good Friday. So CBS will be taking care of things, CBS Sports, tomorrow morning, right here on the program. All right, let's get to some NFL news this morning. Start things out with, I thought this was interesting. On Mile High Report, the Broncos blog, they have a list of every player that's, you know, up for the draft this year that the Broncos have, I guess, had an interest in. And this ranges from, obviously, Trevor Lawrence. They went to his pro day. I guess George Payton. I got that. I kept going. Why did you waste the plane fare to go watch Trevor
that
Lawrence?
That pro day should have had one NFL person at it, and that's just Urban Meyer.
And that's it. That's all.
For one throw, be like, yep, we're out.
I'm just thinking, what are you? Are you going to try to trade for the Jags, you know, number one spot? Or are you?
They're not giving up that spot.
Are they going to suddenly, everybody becomes just flat out stupid and they just don't draft Trevor Lawrence and he falls all the way to number nine?
We're looking at some of the other guys here. Whatever.
Whatever.
You liar.
Yeah, but guys, which I'm kind of going, okay, sure. Going to Trevor Lawrence's pro day. You know, obviously, Zach Wilson, the BYU quarterback. Landon Rice. Do you know who Landon Rice is?
No.
Jacksonville State tight end. He is projected as a day three player selected. Pro day for Trey Lance. They went there, the North Dakota State quarterback. Mac Jones is pro day. They also had a virtual meeting with Mac Jones. So it shows maybe a little additional interest perhaps on the Broncos' part. Yeah, they had virtual meetings, and maybe this, to go along with the pro day, attending that, Mac Jones, Isaiah McDuffie, linebacker at Boston College, Trayvon Morig, the safety from TCU, which Denver's going to be in the market for drafting a safety.
Yes.
Evan McPherson, kicker at Florida.
Okay. I hope they didn't go to a pro day for
him. No pro day for him, just a virtual meeting. These are all virtual meetings.
Gotcha.
Xavien Collins, linebacker, Tulsa. Dax Milne, wide receiver, BYU. Are just some of the names. So those are names that maybe...
Asante Samuel Jr.? His dad's already old enough to have a junior?
I know, that's shocking,
that's like,
isn't
Patrick
it?
Patrick Sertan Jr. Like, oh my...
Really? Doesn't that make you feel old,
you
right?
You have this kid as a sophomore? What's going on
I know,
here?
Well, it's like when I saw that Ulysses Chassin debuted at the age of 21 in 2009. Doesn't seem like he's now 33. Doesn't seem like he should be that old.
No.
Just the rest of us are. It's like the McConaughey, Dazed and Confused, you know, kind of thing. Count Kareem Jackson, by the way, among those, along with Alvin Kamara.
Yeah.
Not particularly stoked about the 17-game regular season that, according to Mile High Report, that Kareem Jackson, 17 games is complete BS. No other way to put it. Others like Packers safety Adrian Amos, Saints defensive end Cameron Jordan, others that have expressed a great displeasure over a 17-game regular season.
You know, at this point, you're Amos, your Alvin Kamara, Kareem Jackson. Just sit out a game and don't take a check. If you really don't want to play that 17th game, just be like, you know what, coach, I don't think I'm active today. If you don't want to play it, don't play it.
Well, and here's the thing. Once again, let's get back to this. NFLPA approved this.
Yes.
They gave the owners the ability to vote on this.
The union said okay.
And so you can stomp your feet and get mad and swear as much as you like, but your labor brethren, enough of them voted for this for the owners to be able to do this. And they knew it was coming, so why are you stomping your feet about it now? You knew it was going to happen.
Right.
The moment you guys ratified the ability for the owners to vote on a 17-game regular season, you knew this was done. It's a done deal, and especially in a year where they need more revenue. They'd already negotiated this into TV contracts.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess you have to express how you feel, right?
Yeah.
I guess.
You can lose the vote and whine about it, but that's all you can do. Right. That's all you can do.
But does that even do any good now? Because you knew this was going to happen a long, long time ago. This is not something that just got suddenly sprung on
right. The
Kareem Jacksons and Alvin Kamara.
And if you voted on the CBA, you gave him a yay vote, and you're blindsided by this, you're dumb. You should have read. You should have been informed. You should have asked the questions that you needed to ask. Be like, wait, I voted to approve this, but I don't like the 17. Well, it was in there. And, you know, this whole, I don't listen to media. Maybe you should have listened to media, because we talked about this for, like, weeks that this was possible.
You know, Mike Kliss, Broncos' unofficial mouthpiece, 9 News, he said it was becoming increasingly difficult for NFL management to sell what amounted to an exhibition game of backups to its season ticket holders. So it gets down to money.
It's always about money.
People are getting, like, and I understand why. If you're a season ticket holder, why do I get stuck with a game where I'm watching backups? Why do I get stuck paying for that game? A game that I can't even give that ticket away or tickets away to people to go watch.
Who wants to continually see the Broncos play the Cardinals in the fourth preseason game?
Not me.
No.
I understand why people are frustrated. And that becomes a difficult thing to sell. Was the answer a 17th game? I'm not so sure about that. I'm not so sure that more is always better. I'm okay with it as a football fan. I'd rather see if they're doing what they did, making the regular season more meaningful.
Yeah.
And taking away basically a practice game that nobody wants to see. But I'm still not sure that more is better on that. When you look at injuries, and here's something to think about with this.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, 555 injuries across the league. Of varying degrees.
Varying degrees, yeah.
That's 16% more than the average of the past 3 years. So now, what are you doing? Adding one more game.
Yeah. And that may speak more to the lack of preparation for the season, too.
And that could be, that's a factor as well.
I saw somewhere, it's not adding more games. It's making the starters play more. That's what it is.
Exactly.
Because you're still having 20 games, 3 and 17 instead of 4 and 16.
Because the preseason game you're taking off the table is a game where, let's be honest.
That's the last day those guys have numbers.
Starters aren't playing.
Yeah.
It's guys battling to be on the tail end of a roster, practice squad decisions. That's where
half of the guys in those games won't have numbers by the same time the next week.
Absolutely. So you're right. It's replacing a meaningless game where starters don't play.
Right.
With a game where starters are going to be expected to play.
And this year it's going to be meaningless because it's Broncos-Lions. I mean, to be honest. But
it's potentially.
But the starters will be out there.
Potentially. It could be. And you're right about that. I know you want to take a shot, but it's not a shot.
It's not
when
really a shot,
it's not a shot when there's truth to that.
Yeah.
Of it being potentially a meaningless game.
Yeah. Now, is this added to the end of the year, or is this sprinkled somewhere in the middle?
I believe this is the end of the year. This is your final.
They're adding all of... Oh, those are going to be some thrillers.
I think this is your final game of the regular season. Yes. I believe that's how this works. So, yeah.
Browns get the Cardinals in their game?
I think it's the
AFC North, NFC West.
I believe that is correct, yes.
And that could be both teams have either A, locked up a playoff spot, or the Browns already have and the Cardinals need a win. And that could just be an ugly game at that point.
All right. So, yeah, I, once again, you can cream Jackson or Bales, you can cry and whine all you want. It's not going to do you any good.
No. But hey, if you don't want to play the game, don't play the game. Take the pay cut for the week. Don't get a check. Take the unpaid vacation day, right? It's an extra bye week for you. Heal up for the postseason.
All right. Pro days went down for Mac Jones, Justin Fields. And so with what obviously San Francisco did, trading up to number three, there's going to be those guys are right there.
Oh, not after of, Mac Jones overthrew the guy in the pro day.
That's where I'm going next.
Ooh.
That
not even worth looking at anymore, apparently.
Justin Fields had a very good pro day. Mac Jones had I would say the worst pro day ever, but certainly not a pro day that made teams feel good about him.
Right.
Most notably, Kyle Shanahan apparently had some very visible
Bill Belichick with the head shake. Oh, Bill showing emotion. This is not good. Meanwhile, Justin Fields, it looks like he was just playing against Northwestern again.
And there are people that think that perhaps that the Patriots will end up taking him, Justin Fields, that he'll fall that far.
I've seen Justin Fields going third and falling to like the Patriots or a playoff team from last year. It's so bizarre to where... Oh, he could go third overall to the 49ers or whoever had that pick before. It was the Dolphins, right? He could go third to the Dolphins or he could be there when the Bears pick at 20. He's not going to be there at 20.
And I saw where some NFL front office guy, anonymous, of course.
Naturally.
Said that outside of Lawrence and Wilson, the BYU quarterback, nobody's worth drafting in the first round. Mac Jones isn't worth it. Fields isn't worth it. Trey Lance isn't worth it. Are you buying that?
Even buying that Zach Wilson absolutely is worth it. I know people are wowed by his numbers and wowed by his
sure
pro day.
He sure looked good, but then again, the quality of competition has to be questioned. Does it not?
Absolutely. This last year, he went 33 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, essentially playing the Mountain West schedule. Last year, he went 11 touchdowns, 9 interceptions. Here are the teams he played this year for BYU. Navy, Troy, La Tech, UTSA, Houston, not the basketball team, Texas State, Western Kentucky, Boise State, North Alabama.
When they ranked number 21.
We'll give him that. Coastal Carolina, who was ranked 14, but in a normal year, they ranked 14. San Diego State, UCF. Not a whole lot of competition on there to go 33 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. Now, last year for BYU, when he only had 11 touchdowns and 9 interceptions, they played at Utah, lost. They beat USC barely. They played Washington and lost handily. They lost at Toledo. They lost at South Florida. They lost to San Diego State. They lost to Hawaii. I mean, maybe he got better over the last year, but the competition got drastically worse.
Where you could say the opposite about Mac Jones, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he led his team to a national championship.
Through the SEC.
And the SEC... many consider it the best conference in college football.
No one beat him this year.
QBR of 78.3 when pressured, 97.3 when he was blitzed. That's Jones. Fields. Mm-hmm. QBR of 22.6 when pressured over his last 13 games, 81.1 when he was blitzed. Wilson is second in the class, 44 QBR when pressured, which is really good. So it goes to show... actually, how good the numbers are for one Mac Jones.
Yeah. You know, and they play... yes, he's never, not thrown to a first-round wide receiver. He's got an all-pro offensive line in college. He only had to sweat once last year in the SEC championship game against Florida. That's the only time things were really even nervy for Alabama. But the guy got the job done. You know, I know people want to, like, he's got all these things around him. And we talk about it. What we don't know what Mac Jones is, but I feel a lot more certain about him than Zach Wilson.
58 touchdowns, 7 picks in his 3 years at Alabama.
That's pretty good. Jones.
That's pretty good. People are now, you go from either, here's the thing I love about the draft, the quarterbacks in particular. Mac Jones is either the next coming of Tom Brady or
A.J. McCarron.
Or is A.J. McCarron, yeah. Or McElroy.
Yeah.
He's one of those guys.
Right.
He's either future Hall of Fame quarterback, recent Super Bowl winner, or he's going to be an absolute
bust.
And
there's no in-between.
There's no in-between, which I think there probably is an in-between.
There's a lot of in-between. There's a lot of guys that make a good career for themselves that are in-between. You know, there's the Ryan Tannehills of the world. You'd take a guy that solid right now, wouldn't you?
Ryan Tannehill? Yeah.
If you're the Broncos, a Tannehill type, I think Mac Jones is a Tannehill type. He's not going to wow you. He's not going to win the game on his arm.
Tannehill, better mobility, more athlete.
Yeah,
because he played wide receiver at A&M before going back to playing quarterback.
But Mac Jones, I think, between the ears, can get the job done.
Do you draft him, though, ninth, if you're the Broncos? Or do you trade up and do you get him? And should you get him? That becomes the question. That's concerning about him is that is he a talented quarterback that goes through his progressions, reads defenses, is accurate, all these things, good enough athlete to get outside? Because they tried to kind of highlight that with his pro day of him doing some boots and waggles and getting on the outside, throwing the football.
Yeah.
That is he capable of coming in and being a guy worthy of being drafted that high?
If you love him, draft him. Go get him. If you are Mac Jones because everyone else is gone, don't trade up for him. Don't even pick him at that point. You have to love him. And that's the thing. It just can't be he's the one that's left. No, you love Mac Jones, go get him.
And that's where I am as a Broncos fan, because I obviously saw Mac Jones play this season. And it's hard to decide what he really is. Is it all the talent around him? Is he actually that good of a quarterback?
Right.
You know, you put anybody in that offense with that offensive line with those receivers you put Trey Lance in that offense and the numbers would have been even better or Justin Fields in that offense and he would have even been better than Mac Jones. We don't have the answer to that. But you're right. If you love him, you better go get him.
And that's for any of the ones not named Trevor Lawrence. You're probably not getting Zach Wilson either. But if you love these guys, at least try to go get one of them.
But I'm with you on the Wilson thing. I've seen him play. He's very accurate. There's a lot of upside to Zach Wilson.
Right.
But I don't know if he's the second best quarterback in this draft. I'm certainly not feeling that.
I think that's Justin Fields.
That's not just
because he played at Ohio State, but he's been the second best quarterback in his class in the country for the last 8 years behind Trevor Lawrence.
It's Lawrence, and I think it's Fields after him, and I think it's Mac Jones.
Yeah,
and then I think Wilson. I think the Jets are very invested in him already, and I don't know if that's a good thing. I don't have maybe he'll be brilliant. Maybe he'll be just fantastic.
Right.
I think quality of competition is important. And who BYU played this season, with the exception of Boise State and Coastal Carolina, they didn't play anybody. And I get the schedule got blown up. They had actually a really, really good schedule put together with some Power 5 teams, but it got blown up because of COVID. And that's not Zach Wilson's fault.
No, but if they played that schedule and he goes 7-5, And is he top 10 pick?
And it was what, 31-3?
33-3.
Does he go a more back-to-earth 24-13 or 15?
Yeah, who knows? Think about Mac Jones.
Playing against better secondaries, better, more athletic defenses.
If you're, say you are the Broncos and Mac Jones is your guy, you got Cortland Sutton, Judy, Hamler, Noah Fant, Melvin Gordon, all these guys that want the rock, right? Who better to distribute the rock than the guy that's thrown to 5 first-round picks the last 2 years in Mac Jones? Judy, Ruggs, Smith.
Waddle.
Waddle, thank you. I was blanking. There's so many, I blinked on the names. Najee Harris.
Yeah, Najee Harris.
You know, I mean, that's 5 first-round picks if Harris goes in the first round, which I think he will at some point. That's 5 in the last 2 years that Mac Jones can distribute the ball to. At least he's got that. You know, he may not be athletic. He may be either Tom Brady or A.J. McCarron, but he knows how to distribute the football.
And I don't think he's A.J. McCarron.
I don't think he is.
I don't think he is either. I think he's a sharper guy than that.
He may have the best pro career of an Alabama quarterback since Namath.
Right. I'm not.
He might. I don't know.
I'm not saying McCarron was dumb. I just think that he, reading defenses, I just think that his accuracy, I just think he's a better quarterback.
I think McCarron and McElroy and these guys, they got the most out of what their body and brain could give them. It just wasn't NFL level.
Yeah, Greg McElroy was a really good quarterback for Alabama. Obviously, A.J. McCarron was, but...
And that's it. Sometimes you're just not good enough. That's all. And it's not a knock. It's just sometimes you're not.
And I think Mac Jones is better than those guys.
I think he is.
Is he Tom Brady 2.0? I'm not. Let's not put him into that territory.
But did we think Tom Brady was Joe Montana 2.0?
Well, no, because... No. Because
he couldn't beat out Elvis Gerbach at Michigan.
Or Drew Henson.
Or Drew Henson, who didn't even want to play football. He wanted to play baseball. And he couldn't even beat those guys out for 2 years. So you don't really know until you know, right? It sounds dumb, but it's true.
But that's, I love it. He's either Tom Brady or he's going to be Ryan, right?
Yeah.
It's going to be one or the other. There's got to be some truth somewhere in between there.
He's Tom Brady or Joe Germain.
Thank you. Yeah. 8:27. We'll take a break and we'll come back. Tom Hudson, voice of Gonzaga, will join us coming up in just a little bit. I'm looking forward to that conversation with him. So up next, we'll talk about the first day of the Major League Baseball season, which is already, we thought we was going to be, everybody plays today.
Hey, the dream is over.
The dream is already over. Who got rained out again?
It was Baltimore, Boston.
Oh, thanks.
I love how they tweet out last night a picture of the field. Tomorrow we play. And Jeff Passan tweets out this morning. He's like, maybe not.
Maybe not. It's under a foot of water. No, it's not that bad. But all right, we'll take a break. Come back. 8:28. Got some text. One from Mike from Scottsdale. We'll get to that coming up next. Right here on the Jim Davis Show on the team, Colorado Sports Leader.
Touchdown every morning.
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado Sports Leader, the team.
Welcome back, 8:33.
Stupid computer.
Yeah, I had to play the return cut,
yeah.
And I'll be honest. Of course, it has to hit on one of my least favorite ones.
That's all right.
I like Billy Joel.
Billy Joel's all right.
It wasn't what I had in mind,
but we'll save that.
But it's what came up.
Yeah.
For the return cut
this
morning.
Those are the safe, you know, emergency... Break glass in case of computer freezing season.
What I just had to do. All right, let's get to the text line. Chick-fil-A breakfast team phone line. Once again today, want your Rockies predictions on how many games you think they'll win this season. Who do you think will be their positional MVP, pitching MVP, surprise player? Also, peeps or no peeps? Since it is Easter on Sunday. And happy almost Easter. Happy almost Good Friday to everybody. So we got one from Mike from Scottsdale listening on the mobile app today, which you can always get the mobile app.
Yep.
At our website for Android or iPhone at theteam1340.com. You can check out the Bracket Palooza standings there as well, powered by Point S Tire and Grand Junction Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, theteam1340.com. Interviews there as well from the show. We always have those up by 10:30. Full podcast by noon. Right there at theteam1340.com from Mike from Scottsdale. Good morning, muchachos. Peeps are on the Mount Rushmore of horrible foods, right up there with candy corn, circus peanuts, I have to be careful.
Yes.
Had a problem with that one time.
I have to be very careful.
And black licorice. Yeah. I used to bite the head off the chocolate bunny. I think that Ryan McMahon surprises everyone this year and becomes the team MVP. Marquez, the best pitcher on the roster. Have a great Thursday, Pyle. You too, Mike.
Hmm.
Good to hear from you. Happy Easter to Mike and the Bakerettes out in the greater Gilbert area out in Arizona. Yeah, you used to just bite the ears off, and it was never the head. Maybe I probably bit the head off the chocolate bunny. I'm sure I probably did, but it was usually the ears.
Mm-hmm.
Mount Rushmore of horrible candy and foods, yes.
You have to have a large mouth to get the ears in and then go Aussie on the head.
Yeah, I don't ever remember doing that. Usually it was the ears, then the head, and then the rest would follow.
Tail, occasionally.
Tail section, as you referred to earlier.
Yeah.
We need to go back and find that. We need, that's got to go. That's got
to
go in
I've already set a reminder to go clip that piece of audio.
Oh, black licorice, absolutely terrible. My late mother loved black licorice. Kendall likes it. I think it's absolutely disgusting.
You know what's a good way to eat candy corn? Throw it in the trash. It's awful.
Like I've said before, the only thing about candy corn, any redeeming value, was your little fake vampire fangs you could do with it on your teeth. Like, they entertained the kids, and that was it.
Right. That's such false advertising. I like corn, and I like candy, and it is neither of those things.
No. It's when I'm thinking candy corn is right there with Big Hunk candy bars.
It's the Halloween Big Hunk.
It's the most disappointing thing you're going to get.
Yeah.
In your trick-or-treat bag.
You want to see your kids sad, get them some candy corn and Peeps.
Let's see. Got one from Mr. Beauregard this morning. Good morning, Steve. Good morning, guys. I just pulled up Kareem Jackson's stats. In his 11-year career, he averages less than 14 games played per year. Seems like he doesn't have to worry about playing 17 games.
That's pretty good.
That's very true. From Evan, Peeps equal Barforama.
Oh, yeah.
Rocks MVP Dinger. Okay. Paul, listening in Montrose today, the former mayor of Montrose, our colleague, our former colleague, I should say, former colleague. Random MLB prediction, 80% of home teams win today.
Okay.
That's your prediction. Going to FanDuel with that one? Is there a FanDuel thing for you can?
Hey, maybe, I don't know.
Probably so.
Go to FanDuel, sign up with KTMN, promo code.
Dylan, Nolan Arenado or not, it's time for guys like Tapia, Gray, McMahon, and Freeland to step things up. This is the big leagues, and they aren't super young anymore. That's very true.
Absolutely.
Marquez is the best pitcher. That's Gray Wolf, you're not a young guy out of Oklahoma anymore.
No, okay? It's time for you guys to you-know-what or get off the pot.
Exactly. All right, so the season starts today. Just hitting on a few of these things. Of course, we'll have the Rockies and the Dodgers today. Ermon Marquez will score off against Clayton Kershaw, and we'll have it today starting at 1:30 with Rockies on deck. Remember, Rockies got off to a great start in the COVID-impacted 60-game season last year. They opened the season 11-3, but then they went just 15-31 the rest of the way. Finished second to last in the National League West with a 26-34 record. Last year, the Rockies allowed a league-leading 353 runs, posted a 5.63 ERA. They ranked 15th overall in offense with 275 runs scored.
Middle of the pack, that's good, right?
Sure. And we know what the Dodgers did last year. Oh, I don't know. They won the World Series.
Yeah.
These teams met 10 times last year. The Dodgers were the favorite in each of those games. Dodgers went 7-3 last year against the Rockies. So Marquez against Kershaw today, 1:30, right here on the team. Other games today, Tampa Bay at Miami. Tampa Bay, of course, your team that was the runner-up last year, losing to the Dodgers in the World Series. And Tampa at Miami today. So you have the Battle of Florida that unfolds today at Miami. Rays have won 5 straight games in Miami by a 23-7 combined count. If you're putting some money on a baseball game today, that would be probably a good one to put some money on as well. Likewise on the Dodgers and Rockies. So just a couple of the games today that are going on. Like I said, everybody was supposed to open up today. Mm-hmm. That is now gone by the wayside. What Baltimore and Boston rained out today. So it'll be, what, 28 of the teams will get to open up the Major League Baseball season today. All right, 7:39. Let's quickly get into...
We're into four down territory on the Jim Davis Show on the team.
All right, we said we were anti-April Fool's Day.
Yes.
Tom Brady is not. Tom Brady, who was not only a really good high school football player, was also a really good high school baseball player, had a little April Fool's joke that he put on Twitter today. With opening day today, excited to announce we're bringing the Expos back to Major League Baseball in 2022. Excited to be the first player, coach, owner in MLB history. It's a picture of him with a tux on, with an Expos hat on the field in Montreal. Brady, by the way, was drafted by the Expos. That's why he put Montreal in there. They drafted him in the 95 MLB draft. He was an 18th round pick.
See, if he stops at the player, owner, manager thing, if he stops before that, he might get a lot more traction on this as a prank. As a, whoa, they're bringing the Expos back.
Really? Yeah. But then,
but as soon as he does that, it's like, oh, okay, you got me.
Tom. Yeah. Okay, second down. This has nothing to do with sports.
Uh-huh.
Saw where Christopher Maloney's coming back as Stabler.
Yes, saw that.
If you're a Law & Order fan, Law & Order SVU, it's going to be Law & Order Organized Crime with Christopher Maloney in it. I think that'll be great. But it sounds like CBS is going to bring back CSI with William Peterson returning as
Gil Grissom.
Gil Grissom, the leader of the Vegas crime lab. And Georgia Fox played his girlfriend in it. But they got married in the show, didn't they?
I don't know if they got married, but they ran off together. Yeah.
And supposedly they're coming back to lead this new version of CSI.
Yeah. Ted Danson was good in it, but once the original cast started to go away, then
Law and Order, Organized Crime, Maloney, great. CSI, I'm fine if they don't bring it back. I probably will try it, though.
They're bringing back Gil and Sarah and Nick and the whole crew?
No.
I'm in.
Just those two.
Oh.
For where it's going to be a brand new cast otherwise.
Maybe on a DVR.
Okay, third and fourth down.
Third down, North Carolina coach Roy Williams is retiring.
Okay.
How surprising is that?
Not shocking.
Not shocking.
No.
Not really.
No, I'm not surprised at all.
And Vic Lombardi has a good question today. What to do with the back of your Nolan Arenado Rockies jerseys? Do you take the nameplate off, leave the 28 for whoever else is going to wear it?
Yeah, probably so.
Yeah, that's what I would do.
Yeah. Or just do like, hey, if I get my Rockies jersey on, it doesn't have a name or number on the
back.
Don't
buy names and numbers on the back anymore. That's what I've learned.
It's a safe bet. Yep. All right, we'll take a break. Tom Hudson, voice of Gonzaga, joins us next on The Jim Davis Show.
Who do I listen to?
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado Sports Leader.
Whoever suggested that has got to be smoking crack and plenty of it.
Whoa.
The team.
Thanks for joining us. Jim Davis along with the Buckeye Boy. We go to the Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line. Joining us from Indianapolis, the voice of Gonzaga, playing in the Final Four against UCLA this Saturday, Tom Hudson. Tom, how you doing today?
Jim, I'm doing great, thanks. I'm just, kind of relaxing here a little bit, getting ready to really dive into UCLA, and, waiting for, I think, a few more of our fans to kind of make their way to town and see if we can get a little bit of a Final Four atmosphere here.
Yeah, get a few more of those Zag fans, those Bulldog fans into the arena when Gonzaga plays UCLA on Saturday. I want to go back to the Elite Eight game with USC, and my colleague, the Buckeye Boy, and myself, we both thought that Gonzaga would win. We thought the double-digit win streak would come to an end. We were dead wrong about that. I thought SC, their length with the two Mobley brothers, that would pose some challenges maybe for Drew Timmy and Kispert up front. It did not. The Gonzaga defense was fantastic, forced a bunch of turnovers, particularly that first half that helped Gonzaga have that 19-point lead, and they go on never really get challenged the rest of the way to win that game against SC to get to the Final Four.
Yeah, they were fantastic in that game, Jim, and it was impressive to see the start. And I was telling somebody this the other day, nobody at Gonzaga is going to play the nobody believes in us card, right? You're not playing the underdog thing or whatever. But I will say, just from my vantage point, there was a lot of talk about that length for USC and a lot of talk about their two-point, field goal percentage defense being the best in the country. Well, our offense is number one in the country, right? So I think there was a little bit of talk kind of, hey, you know, they do this really well. They do that. They're going to cause problems for Gonzaga. They're, you know, this is an opportunity for Gonzaga to lose. And I think our guys just came out with a remarkable focus and understood that, you know, if you got into a half-court game, you know, and allowed them to get back and consistently set up that zone defense, that it might be a little bit difficult. And, the opening possession for USC, Taji, their point guards out there, and Drew Timmy, our 6'10 center, you know, comes out. They get the switch that they want on him, and they have to be thinking, okay, great, you know, we've got an opportunity to go and do something. And Drew pokes the ball away and, you know, and kind of set the tone for the whole game. I mean, he stole it and got to the rim on the other side. Mobley was called for a foul, and away the Zags went. I mean, it was impressive to watch how aggressive they were, you know, on the defensive end, and I think they just set that tone so early. And then, you know, the zone that everybody talks about, boy, how difficult it might be for Gonzaga to deal with that. You know, I thought they made some really nice plays out of it, and they didn't seem to be too rattled by it. And it was pretty impressive how they took USC out of the game so early.
Tom Hudson voiced the Gonzaga Bulldogs with us on the Team Sports Network. So now it's another Pac-12 team, USC in the Elite Eight. Now it's UCLA in the Final Four. And it's been quite a run. They were, of course, victorious in their opening game in the first four against Michigan State. And they played really well since then. Johnny Juzang, 28 points in the win over Michigan. That was an exciting game where UCLA comes up with the upset. I think if you talk about UCLA, they're defensive oriented. They're really good on that end floor, just like USC, which you guys have already, Gonzaga's already faced a team of really good players defensively. With UCLA, can they change the tempo of this game? USC wanted to do that, they couldn't do it. Do you see with the prep you've already done, Tom, does UCLA have any advantage that they can work against Gonzaga, which has been practically flawless throughout this tournament?
Well, I think that's going to be the interesting thing, right, is people have been talking about, you know, for Mick Cronin, it's this interesting kind of team where, you know, some of it's his old Cincinnati teams, and you talk about the defense and how good they are, but then they've got some guys that can really score the ball. And, you know, I've got to think that UCLA does not want to get up and down the floor and run with Gonzaga, right? I don't think that's anything that they're interested in doing. And so it's going to be kind of that thing. I think, like we talked about with the USC game, you know, I don't know that you're going to expect to get anywhere close to your 92 points a game average necessarily, because, you know, as Coach Few always says, hey, listen, if somebody wants to walk the ball up the floor and they don't want to, you know, initiate their offense until there's 7 or 8 seconds left, you know, on the shot clock, you can't do a whole lot about that. You know, you can pressure and do some things, but if you get out of your basic philosophies, now all of a sudden you're playing into their hands and you're making mistakes and they're able to score. And so, you know, for him, I think he's comfortable. Yes, Gonzaga would love to get up and down the floor and again, you know, get up into the 90s, the 100s. But I also think that this team is built to be able to play in a game that isn't as high scoring. I don't think that we want to be in a game like, you know, the UCLA-Michigan game was, you know, a couple of games where UCLA's played really good defense. But I do think, like I said, I don't think we'll get up into the 90s by any stretch of the imagination. I think that'll be kind of one of the keys, is getting it, you know, to where it's being played at our pace when we can take advantage of that and take advantage of misses. And I think that's what happened against USC and Creighton, for that matter. You know, the ball came off the rim, and our guys were off and running and getting back again before, you know, either Creighton or USC could get that defense set up. So I think that'll be a big part of it. And I mean, what a remarkable thing to watch UCLA. I mean, isn't this crazy? I mean, they're playing in the first four, and, you know, what Michigan State had, I think, a 13-point lead in that game in the second half, and UCLA comes back and wins in overtime. And then all of a sudden, they just kind of caught fire, you know, and it's been pretty incredible to watch. It makes this tournament so fun, and it's going to be an interesting game to see, because, again, I've joked, Jim, I feel like I'm sandbagging people a little bit. And, you know, I say, Oklahoma, and they've got a good team.
Right.
Go out and win. And then, oh, hey, wait a second, Creighton's really good. They finished second in the Big East, and then, you know, they go out and handle them pretty easily. And then, oh, hey, you know, USC, as you just talked about, all the things that they have that can be potential problems, well, guess what? They took care of it. So, you know, I'm kind of interested to see this one as well, because UCLA is on quite a run. And I, like you said, you know, not just the defense, but those two kids that have been scoring the basketball, that can be very scary in a one-game deal trying to get to the national championship.
Absolutely. And Drew Timmy has been just brilliant for Gonzaga, averaging 25 points per game in his last three games. Tom Hudson voiced the Bulldogs with us today on the Team Sports Network. I do want to ask, in the time we have remaining, Tom, something I asked you about off the air. The article that's out in Sports Illustrated about John Stockton, Gonzaga great, NBA great, and the Sunday game that he has. And John, kind of, he's the guy that put this together, kind of spilled the beans on a podcast recently about it. Yeah, your colleague Adam Morrison has played in this game. give us what you know about the Sunday game that John Stockton puts together.
Well, it's funny because not a lot of people knew about it here until, you know, just recently. Like you said, John talked about it on a podcast. I think one of the kids from Eastern Washington had alluded to on one of their games in the NCAA, their game against Kansas, the NCAA tournament, you know, that, oh, they've played against the Gonzaga guys some and whatever. And it's really an interesting thing. You know, John is a really competitive guy. John is very much a community guy, and he loves Spokane. It's his hometown. And so, you know, he's come back and done a great job of being involved in the community. And so it's kind of funny. It's, you know, former Gonzaga players. It may be really good high school players that are invited. And as that article pointed out, you know, you don't just get invited in and then get to jump into the game. You might have to sit there for three or four Sundays before you can even step on the floor. I mean, how amazing is that? And, you know, the thing is, John still plays in that thing. He still runs it. He's still as competitive as ever. And, you know, what a great thing when you talk about Gonzaga, and everybody always wants to know kind of the secret to the success and all this stuff they've done. Well, you know, think about that. I mean, this is a Hall of Famer, you know, one of the greatest players to ever play basketball on this planet. And he's come back to his hometown and to his alma mater and really been invested in it. And playing that game, you know, is so beneficial. You talk to all of our players, especially our guards over the years that have had an opportunity to pick his brain. I mean, what an incredible thing to you know, have that as a resource, but also to play against him and see how competitive he is and see all the things that make him great. But, yeah, those games, by all accounts, can get extremely, extremely competitive. And you think, hey, it's Sunday, we're going to go down and get a little sweat, you know, run up and down the floor.
No.
And that's not the case, not at all.
Now, I asked you, and we debated about this, didn't we, Buckeye? Stockton, short shorts.
Yep, absolutely.
And you say he still rocks the short shorts. You thought Buckeye compression shorts
maybe
underneath.
Compression shorts, older guy.
And you told me, Tom, no, that's not the case. It's a classic Stockton look, right?
Yes. I think the classic Stockton look is what goes on. John's, pretty traditional guy, a guy who I think probably believes that, you know, those shorts shouldn't have ever gotten any longer than the ones that he was wearing. So, you know, and we kind of joke sometimes, you know, we just got these alternate whole white uniforms. Instead of saying Gonzaga, they say Zags across the chest. And, you know, we kind of joke, we're going to have to ask John his opinion on that because, you know, not having a traditional home white uniform must be driving him crazy.
Sure.
You know, we joke about that stuff. But, yeah, no, I think it's the short shorts. And, you know, and my guess is nobody ever really says anything to him about it because
he's John Stockton.
The depth there from John can be pretty good. Yeah. And he'll let you know for sure.
Have you ever, I'm sure you probably talked to John Stockton, right? At least at some point during your time at Gonzaga.
I have talked with John on multiple occasions and he's, you know, he's great. And like I said, so much stuff that he does, he supports the school. But, you know, it's not something that he's out there, right? I mean, you're not
going to
see his name on buildings. You're not going to see that type of stuff. He's very quiet. He wants to do things, you know, on his own time. And I think he likes to do things that are helpful and not, hey, look at me. I'm giving all this money, right? I mean, that's just his personality, and that's who he is. And I can tell you a funny story. He came on one of our baseball broadcasts 2 years ago. And he's good friends with our former baseball coach who was my color analyst. And so John came on, and we had a great time with him. And then I actually bumped into him later that night. And, you know, when he asked me, he's like, hey, how did I do? And I was like, what do you mean, John? You know, we were kind of laughing. And he was just, he wanted to be good. You know, it's sitting there and talking about college baseball. You know, and just to know kind of the competitive, you know, and just the drive that he has to be good at every single thing that he's involved in. Is phenomenal. It really is a cool thing. And he did do great, by the way. I mean, he's a smart guy. I mean, he's very insightful. And, he's a great guy to have around the program. Like I said, in the community, he does great stuff. And, yeah, I've had an opportunity to talk to him some. And he's, just a great guy to have around for sure.
Hey, Tom, best of luck with the call on Saturday. And best of luck to Gonzaga. I always appreciate it.
All right, Jim, thanks. Appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon.
Take care. Tom Hudson, voice of the Gonzaga Bulldogs. Hour 3 coming up next on The Jim Davis Show.